Welcome to the Inside OSU podcast. I'm Jacob Longen, Coordinator of Communications and Marketing for the College of Arts and Sciences. If you have ever attended an OSU sporting event or spent much time at all in this state, you'll probably recognize the lyric, "Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plains." That familiar phrase is the opening line of the Oklahoma State song, and it comes from the musical Oklahoma. That production was the first collaboration of the legendary duo of Rodgers and Hammerstein. It premiered on Broadway in 1943, becoming a smash hit that ran for an unprecedented 2,212 performances. It was the basis of an Academy Award-winning 1955 film adaptation and remains popular more than 75 years later with a Broadway revival as well as a television series in the works. OSU's Department of Theater is presenting Oklahoma in four sold-out shows Thursday through Sunday in the Vivia Locke Theater. To preview the production, I interviewed the music director. Megan Barth Argo is an artist in residence for theater as well as a faculty member in the Greenwood School of Music. She's a rising collaborative artist and vocal coach who has performed and studied throughout the U.S. and Barcelona, Spain. She has participated in numerous festivals, including Brevard, Songfest, Baldwin Wallace Art Song Festival, and Atlantic Music Festival, where she was both a pianist and apprentice coach under Arlene Schrutt. She holds Master of Music degrees in vocal coaching and piano performance, as well as a bachelor's degree in piano performance. Well, thank you for joining us today, Megan.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You have been here for 3 years now?
Yes, this is my third year. One difference besides artist in residence with the Department of Theater this year was that I was also hired on as faculty with the Greenwood School of Music. Because I do opera and musical theater as a vocal coach, pianist, and music director, they went ahead and hired me on to do the opera as well, which has been wonderful because I love both sides, and I think it's very important for students to have access to both sides as singers because the similarities and differences allow them to strengthen themselves as performers, as singers. And it's also allowed me to have a better grasp on the students' abilities, especially with this particular production of Oklahoma, because we have about 40 in the cast, ranging from very young students, and even a couple high school students, a couple children, to a couple faculty members. But we have a good amount of both music students and theater students, which I think has been wonderful to collaborate together.
And you just mentioned Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand you are the musical director.
Yes.
And Ann Cooley is the director.
Yes.
What is the difference?
So the difference between a musical director and a director is the fact that the music director focuses on all the music. So the very first week of production, I went ahead and met with each individual character and coached them on their own individual music. I did the duets, and then I also did the ensemble numbers. So coaching, meaning that I worked on breaths, on their style, making sure it's not too contemporary. It's more of that time of 1943. And also in terms of ensemble, making sure everything's well-balanced, harmonies are correct, cutoffs are correct, and just shaping and adding everything that I needed, and also adding in the drama, making sure that everything was sung for a reason and not just as a song. And as director, a director focuses more on the acting, on the blocking, on piecing all of that together as a whole. And Anne is unique in the fact that she is actually a choreographer as well. She's a Rockette for many years in New York before she started directing. And so she's choreographed some incredible numbers in Kansas City, and of course the Dream Ballet sequence, and various other little dance elements that will be throughout the show.
And I was looking at the website just before mm-hmm. we sat down here. And by the time we release this, it may be that all the shows are sold out.
Yeah, within the first day of tickets being being up, I believe most days were actually sold out, which is very exciting. I think this is one of the first times, especially since I've been here, that this has ever happened.
So I'm sure you thought there would be increased interest.
Yes.
But did you expect this?
Not quite to this extent, no. But I am very happy that it is.
Yeah, I'll bet. I mean, you don't want to put in all that work and have nobody there.
No.
So.
And I think there are a lot of elements playing into it. I mean, not only the tremendous support from the Greenwoods, but also the fact that we have brought in Ann Cooley, who's been an incredible director, coupled with the fact that we have such a large cast and a collaboration between theater and music for this production.
Let me ask you the two-sided coin question.
Mm-hmm.
What is your favorite part and what is your least favorite or the most challenging part of Oklahoma as a production?
I think my favorite part, obviously, as an ensemble number is Oklahoma, just hearing that and now being, even though I'm not a native Oklahoman, knowing that now I am considered an Okie, so to speak, that always has a special place in my heart every time that I hear the cast sing that and as we perform that. I think the most challenging part has been really making this production our own. And as a music director, part of my job is to kind of pare down things and to shape it into what will showcase us best. And so I've done a lot of cutting and pasting of music. So we're still keeping everything true to what Rodgers and Hammerstein would have wanted, but it's not as long as it would have been, because normally the show runs about 3 to 3.5 hours, and we've cut it down to about 2.5. So that's been the most challenging part for sure, as well as just keeping the energy up. There are times, the first act is quite long, it's about 1.5 hours. The second act is challenging because after Oklahoma, we still have quite a ways to go, and so we have to keep that energy up and running all the way till the end, and I think that's the most challenging part.
So I have seen a live production of it before, but when you mention Oklahoma to me, I automatically think of the movie because I've seen that more. Do you feel like this is more faithful to the musical theater production or the movie?
I think it has elements of both. We've definitely tried to keep it true to the original theatrical production. And I know as a music director, I have really pushed to make sure that vocally everything has more of those elements. So in some ways it's more operatic, particularly with Curly and Lori, compared to, say, what is actually on Broadway right now, because Oklahoma has come back to Broadway. And as a brand new orchestration, it's much more modernized. Even stylistically, with the vocals, it's much more modernized. It has a bit more belting and has a little bit more pop style to it, which is what I wanted to avoid. I wanted to keep it much more true to the theatrical production. There are elements, though, that we have taken from the movie, or at least like, kept consistent, because there are many consistent elements between the two. As a music director, I love Gordon McRae and his portrayal of Curly. And so vocally, our Curly, Dylan Aaron, I've worked with him to add some elements that I really like from Gordon McRae's voice. Not to mimic him entirely, but to keep that consistency and have those little elements that people can grab onto when they hear it.
And I didn't realize until I was doing a little reading preparing for this interview that mm-hmm. Oklahoma was the first thing Rodgers and Hammerstein did together.
Yeah. Yes, it was. And actually, Oh, What a Beautiful Morning was the very first song that they ever collaborated on.
That I've always known Oklahoma was a Rodgers and Hammerstein musical, and we've got what I think is a pretty great state song.
Oh, yeah.
from them. But I didn't realize when you talk about Rodgers and Hammerstein, this is where it starts. This is the beginning of Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, and I kind of always knew that, having worked in musical theater for quite some time. But in preparation for the show, I did a lot of reading of biographies and whatnot. And, yeah, they didn't start collaborating until they were both in their 40s. And Rodgers had worked with Lawrence Hart and Oscar had worked with Jerome Kern. Of course, they did Showboat. And so Oklahoma was wonderful for them. It was like a new beginning to them because they both had had so many failures up to that point. And so they were looking for something fresh and new. And they little did they know what a huge hit this would be. And also just the start of such an incredible dynasty for musical theater.
Can you explain why that was such an important thing besides just the beginning of their collaboration?
It was very important because it revolutionized musical theater. I think people forget that element of it because we always just think of Oklahoma as being Oklahoma. But up until that point, musicals such as like Crazy for You or anything done by Cole Porter, everything had a storyline, but the music was never part of that storyline or the dance. They were just kind of potpourried without or throughout the production. Whereas with Oklahoma, the book, the text all came first, particularly with Rodgers and Hammerstein. Oscar would always write the lyrics first, and then Rodgers would write the music. And so this was the first time that all elements, dance, book, song, all came together as one to create a story. And of course, they carried that on with Carousel, Sound of Music years later, The King and I, and South Pacific. And so that really revolutionized and gave a new format for what musical theater is today.
I was reading about how this set all kinds of records.
Oh, right? Yes,
it
yeah.
Was, people had never seen anything like this, and seems like they really responded to it.
Yeah, it definitely did. In terms of the orchestra itself, the orchestra was huge. It had about 20 string players in the original orchestra, which very few people do today because it's a huge orchestra to fill. But also, it ran on Broadway longer than any other show had. I believe it was 2,212 performances. And up till today, I think there's been, I know there was a revival in 2002, and before that in 1998, and of course, as I mentioned earlier, there's now the new revival on Broadway.
So it's just always going.
Yes, it's always going, and because of its significance, I think that's why it has such a great legacy.
So OSU students, one of the benefits of coming to OSU and being a cast student is interacting with these professionals who come in and teach them, even sometimes like for a day, maybe for an hour. But people like, you're here as an artist in residence. Ann Cooley is a visiting artist. Mm-hmm. The New York Philharmonic, which will be opening, have the opening performance at the McKnight Center, but some of their performers are doing master's classes. Gary Busey was here. What do you think the students gain out of interacting with people who've had so much professional success as visitors?
As visitors, I think it's important for students to gain a fresh perspective and also to become aware of what is expected right now in the real world and in out there, whether it be for classical music or for musical theater in New York, for acting in LA, whatever it would be. I know for for the opera students, we had a guest artist, Weston Hurt, come and give a master class, and he spoke about just the process of becoming an opera singer and all the steps that you have to take, which again is a little different than, say, you know, someone who wants to be a musical theater. But I know also for myself, when I was a student, having guest artists coming in and, you know, whether I would perform in a master class or work with them personally, developing those relationships is invaluable. You don't know where it's going to lead. For instance, before I graduated from Oklahoma City University, that particular semester, Suzanne Menser, who's a very famous mezzo-soprano, she's sung for Pavarotti, she has been on the Metropolitan stage many times. She came and did a master class, and I performed in that master class with a good friend of mine, some music that was written by Libby Larson, who's a living composer. And so I got to spend a lot of time with Suzanne, and later that spring, because of that connection, she actually personally recommended me for Songfest, which is a very prestigious art, song, and operatic program, which is based in LA. And so because of that, I got to work with many big names. I got to work with Libby Larson herself and William Bolcom and a lot of living composers, as well as to get some connections with LA Opera. And without her residency, even though it was only a couple of days at OCU, that would have never happened. So I think it's very important to expose students to these artists who are coming in. Again, it brings us, it allows connections to the outside world.
One thing I have thought was interesting too is, for example, I got to interview Gary Busey when he was here. But when I meet celebrities, you meet them and for a few minutes they're a celebrity. And then after that, it's just another person.
Yes.
Do you think the students also get that experience of, yes, this is someone who's very successful and I know their name, maybe, you know, they've seen them in a production, but after a little while, they're just a person that they're learning from, and it breaks down that barrier between where the student is and where they want to be.
Yes, I think that's very true. I've noticed that with Anne. I noticed that again with Weston, who was here a couple weeks ago. You know, at first it's so interesting to watch the students because, of course, I'd been there, and you see this not look of trepidation, but look of a little bit of fear, like, oh my gosh, there they are. And I remember, for instance, our auditions for Oklahoma, I could tell the students were pretty terrified, like, oh my gosh, we're singing for this director from New York. But then after a while, especially as we got into callbacks and whatnot, Anne did such a wonderful job of just showing them how genuine she is as a person, as a director, and how she cared about shaping them as an artist. And I think that's when they saw, wow, this person really wants to connect with me and wants to make a difference in me, as well as the fact that, you know, she came and spoke to the opera class a couple weeks ago and shared her story. And I think when students hear how these celebrities have, you know, or artists in residence or whatever, have developed, they realize, oh my gosh, there are so many similarities. So many of these people come from small towns, and it's not so much, I mean, they may be very talented, but talent is not the first and foremost important thing. You have to have talent, and you have to have the drive and the tenacity to get where you want to go.
For more information about this production and to watch for next season's schedule, visit theater.okstate.edu. Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Inside OSU podcast. I'm Jacob Longen, and we'll see you next week.